Hey, this is Hojo. Happy anniversary to Baseball Barbecue for 5 years. Congrats.
It's now 5 years. The show has grown. Hollywood's in New York. The Ranter has a home. High five thanks from us to you. With barbecue and sauce, the hot baseball news. With barbecue and sauce, the hot baseball news. Jeff, thank you all.
This is Doug Scheiding, honorary co-host and piece of furniture of the Baseball and Barbecue Podcast. Congrats to Lynn and Jeff for 5 years of podcasting. Halfway there to qualifying for the Hall of Fame. Great achievement, guys. Congrats.
From the studios of Baseball and BBQ on Long Island, New York, celebrating our 5-year anniversary. This is Baseball BBQ episode number 163. I'm Jeff Cohen, the Mad Ranter, along with Leonard Hollywood Aberman. We welcome you back to our podcast. Leonard, how are you?
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary to you.
And you.
Happy 5th year podcast, Baseball and BBQ, where the BBQ stands for barbecue. Happy anniversary to you. Ah,
thank you. And let's hope you never have to sing that again.
And let's just thank the poet Shel Kurkovsky, the musician Dave Dresser, for the song High Five Thanks. It's in the beginning. So if you fast forwarded past the intro, don't do it. Go back. Listen. They wrote us a very special anniversary song. It's a quickie. Thank you to them. Jeff, 5-year anniversary.
Yeah. And don't forget thanking Hojo.
Thank you, Hojo. That's right, for that introduction. Yes. That, yeah, of course. Thank you, Hojo. I would never forget, who is a great barbecuer.
Yes.
And I think he played baseball.
Smattering.
Jeff, let's just get this party started by telling everyone that basketball is back. And Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchups, information, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Leonard, what do we have coming up today?
Oh, Jeff, for our 5-year anniversary celebration, we've got a special episode. We've got some Hall of Fame baseball talk with a slight little bit of barbecue talk. But we have Bill Chuck. We've had him on before. We've had him on with Steve Traxel. We've had him on with Bob Ryan. And he's a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. And then we have
He also wrote the book In Scoring Position, 40 Years of Baseball, mm-hmm. a Love Affair, written along with Bob Ryan.
That's right. And we have our special, as I love to say, piece of furniture, piece of the podcast, just family member, Doug Scheiding, joining us. So we've got a pit master and a baseball historian, and they are talking with us about the 2023 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. It's a wonderful conversation.
Oh, it was fantastic. Just to let everybody know, the Hall of Fame ballot is due by, I believe, December 31st, and the announcement will be made sometime in late January on the MLB Network. And we, me, you, Bill, and Doug, we decide for ourselves who we think would go into the Hall of Fame. And I got to tell you, I'm surprised by some of the picks. I'm surprised the way some of the people I picked. So that is a very interesting conversation, very interesting episode we have for you.
Yeah, enjoy it. Jeff, it's a long one. It's a good one. And it is 5 years. You know, when you have something like this, a five-year anniversary, the tendency is to go, okay, we had so-and-so, we had so-and-so, and this and that, and we want to thank all these people. I mean, you could say whatever you want to say, and then we'll go into the Hall of Fame baseball talk.
Well, I you know, you're right. We do want to thank everybody, and it's impossible to list everybody who helped us along the way, and we sincerely thank everybody. We just want you to know, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 516-855-8214. Email us, baseballandbbq@gmail.com. Comment on our Facebook page, baseballandbbq. We have a Twitter, @baseballandbbq. Instagram, baseballandbarbecue. Barbecue is all spelled out. Our website is www.baseballandbbq.weebly.com. Please rate, review, share.
Subscribe.
And do all those things that really help us out.
All right. And let's get to Bill Chuck and Doug Scheiding and our Baseball Hall of Fame talk. Baseball and barbecue fans, wow. You guys are in for, this is a treat. I can just tell you guys, we have two incredible guests tonight. Well, one you will know right away because we don't call him a guest anymore. You know, we call him a piece of the furniture. He is a part of the show. And the other one, he is becoming part, as much as he wants to come on, we are going to bring him back and back. We have Doug Scheiding and Bill Chuck. If you guys remember, Bill Chuck wrote a book with Bob Ryan called In Scoring Position. It's phenomenal. Then we had, didn't we do something else where
with
we
Steve Traxel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
with Traxel,
right.
Yes.
With Traxel,
great.
With Steve Traxel. That was a great episode. So you guys are in for such a treat. I wanted to just quickly, very quickly, wanted to just read something from Bill Chuck's Twitter. He says, I work with the great Bob Ryan, the great Charlie Steiner, and the great Chicago Sun-Times sports team. Judge me by the company I keep. We are so lucky that we can be part of that company. Bill, Doug, welcome to Baseball and Barbecue.
Thank you. Really judge me by the company I keep. I'm honored to be in the company of the three of you, particularly since I just found out that in the house of Baseball and Barbecue, Doug's an ottoman.
Yes, exactly. Whether I'm comfortable or not, that's yet to be determined.
He's a piece of the furniture. That's great.
That's how the Texas Monthly gives out the worst awards for House of Representatives and Senators for the state. Is if you're a piece of furniture, you need to get out.
I think of Doug. You're like that chair that just, you know.
Yeah. That would be my position. I think you're referring to the lazy boy.
You know me well, obviously. You've been listening.
So,
gentlemen, this is our Jeff. Hall of Fame discussion talk. The Hall of Fame ballot came out. I think they're due at the end of the year, and the announcement's going to be made sometime in late January on the MLB Network. And what we're going to do here, as we know, you need 75% to get elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And since there's four of us, we can easily figure out the percentage. So we're going to vote for our Hall of Famers going down the ballot. This was a great idea by Chuck, so thank you very much. And Len, do you want to read off the ballot, and we'll go around and sing who we think should go in?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm going to start at the beginning, although, as Julie Andrews would say, a very good place to start. But we all know there is going to be some that are going to come off very quickly. But
let me just say, this is a terrible ballot. I mean, I am not impressed with this ballot. I mean, that all these players do fit the criteria. But
what, 10 years in baseball?
10 years, yeah.
That, right. In many ways, it's the equivalent of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ballot. They've run out of rock and rollers, so now they're just choosing people who played in garage bands in the suburbs of San Antonio.
Hey, that wouldn't be me. I'm not musically inclined, so I'm automatically out.
All right, we're going to start with Bobby Abreu. We'll start with our guest of honor, and that is Bill Chuck.
Okay, I've got to tell you, first of all, I want to go on record as saying that I am really curmudgeonly when it comes to the Hall of Fame. One of my prerequisites is if you went to a ball game where the player's team was playing and you found that the player was out of the lineup that day, you'd say, damn, I really wanted to see that guy. I'm disappointed. So I'm taking it in a lot of ways from the fans' perspective. So having said that, I mean, this is now I'm going to completely contradict myself. I've always loved Bobby Abreu. Bobby Abreu, to me, was the kind of five-tool player who could do so many things and did them well, underappreciated. Look, the guy is no Hank Aaron. He certainly is not the greatest player that you may have ever seen, but he certainly – oh, wait. I was about to tell you, he's certainly better than Harold Baines. Now,
the Mendoza line.
That's exactly what I was about to say to you. Bob Ryan and I have agreed that the Hall of Fame Mendoza line is Harold Baines. And we know that Harold was selected by virtue of his friendship with a number of people on the committee. But nevertheless, his stats don't hold up. Bobby Abreu's stats do hold up. I mean, I looked up a couple of things. He posted on-base percentages of 400 or better 8 times. He had a 395 for his career. He drew over 100 walks 8 seasons in a row. He had a 300 batting average 6 times, 20 homers 9 times, 30 steals 6 times, 100 runs scored, and 100 runs batted in 8 times each. This, to me, is a Hall of Famer.
Wow. Okay. So, Bill, you say Hall of Famer for Bobby Abreu. Okay. Doug, we'll go to you.
I actually I had him down as borderline. Yes, borderline. And he is a compiler. He had a lot of stats. He was a great fantasy person when I had him on my fantasy team. The one, we all have criteria. The one thing that I would say is against him is that he was only a 2-time All-Star in 04 and 05. But he did win Silver Slugger Awards, etc. So in the end, I would say yes to Bobby Abreu, and he's a borderline and a borderline yes. But I would include him.
Now, by the way, I'll defend him a little bit. I agree with you 100% that he was only an All-Star twice. He was one of these guys that continued to go under the radar, compiling numbers and doing things. And 2004, 2005, he was clean. And he was competing against a lot of players who were not.
Yeah. Jeff, go ahead.
You know, when I saw the list, first glance, I said Bobby Abreu, for me, just didn't pass the sight test or smell test. But listening to Chuck giving those stats and his reasoning, I'm on the border now. I'm on the border. I'm not really sure.
He's only one of eight players all time with at least eight seasons of 100 runs scored.
I didn't realize how good he was.
Yes.
So, you know, he was the word, I guess, they use is underrated. I know he played for the Phillies and the Mets and the Yankees. There's probably a couple other teams in there.
Let me tell you one other stat. And one of only two players in history, along with Barry Bonds, with at least 1,400 runs scored, 1,400 walks, 1,300 RBIs, and 400 stolen bases. Those are odd statistics, but he only one of two players.
Right, right. I mean, he had speed. He hit for average. I mean, let me just tell you something. Think of it this way. If he were on the market today at age 33, 32, he would be one of the most sought after free agents around. There was no weakness in his game. He may not have been better than the best, but he's in so many top 10 categories. He really was quite a player.
Then you know what? Listening to both of what you've said, I'm going to change my vote. And I guess I'll vote yes. And I can't believe I'm saying that.
Oh, Len, my gosh, this is great. Lynn, how about you?
Well, I knew I'd learned something. I knew I'd learned something from Bill.
Yes.
But not from me. I understand.
I want to just say something else. You know, we talk. I mean, we're going to get towards the end of the show to Scott Rowland, who gets a lot of talk and a lot of praise. But Scott Rowland, along with Jeff Kent, by the way, each had 855 OPS. Bobby Abreu had 870.
There you go.
I mean, this may not be a great class, but Bobby Abreu holds his own with a lot of players.
You guys actually could be used car dealers, and I would buy a clunker from you, because I'm not saying he's a clunker, but I had him as a no. I actually had him as a no, and I guess now you converted me too. I am on the Abreu bandwagon. Hallelujah!
I'll tell you something. I would write the biggest thing that happened in my career was my friendship with Nick Cafardo of the Boston Globe, and every Sunday I would be in his column and we'd share a lot of information. And I'd say once a month I would give him a Bobby Abreu stat. And Nick always appreciated Bobby Abreu. You know, he was there. And, you know, he made teams better. And isn't that what a Hall of Famer should do?
Well, yes, I agree. The thing with me is I'm a tough grader too. Either I see someone and I say they are a Hall of Famer or they're not. So if Bobby Abreu is a Hall of Famer now, if he's on the ballot again, you know, he doesn't get in, he'll be a Hall of Famer. But Bobby Abreu wasn't, I guess he was Mr. Consistent. I guess he didn't, like you said, he flew under the radar. And I guess that's why he didn't come across to me as a Hall of Famer. But you know what? He consistently year after year put up the numbers. So yeah, I guess I'll change my vote and I'll say yes.
Okay, who's Bobby next? Abreu.
All right.
Wait. Should we contact him and let him know he's in the hall?
Yeah, give him a Bill. Come on. No, Doug has his number. Doug, give him a call. Come on.
Yeah. I'll tell him he's 4 for 4 so far, so he got 4 votes, even though none of us can
for him. Who's next?
Bronson Arroyo.
Bronson Arroyo is a very nice man. No.
Okay.
I mean, look, here's a guy who had a lifetime ERA of 4.28. Now, apparently, he's a very good musician, plays the guitar well, good musician, good teammate, 4.28.
Yeah. No. You know what? We've got other guys and we're going to discuss a lot of things. We shouldn't even take much time on him. So let's just go. Because, I mean, his
148 wins.
Right. And 137 losses.
And losses.
At a time when wins and losses was a meaningful stat.
And a 1.301, a 3.0 whip.
I mean,
there's nothing great about the guy. He has no business being on this list. He is, to me, in many ways, the most insulting person for them to have put on the list. And he shouldn't have been put through that indignity.
So, Jeff and Doug, are we agreed? Are we no's on that?
Yes. No.
Okay. No. Unless Doug, I know Doug does such research. I have to tell you, Doug is so prepared for this. Bill, did Doug actually, did he tell you what Doug's profession was before or what Doug is? Or
no, what is Doug other than an Ottoman?
Go ahead. Yeah. Tell him. Tell him, Doug.
I am a recovering aerospace engineer.
A rocket scientist.
Yeah.
A true rocket scientist.
So when we say it's not rocket science, for him it is.
Oh, in that case, I'm a brain surgeon. On the internet, you can be whatever you want to be. Wow. That's great. I love that.
I actually graduated number one aerospace engineer when I graduated in 1988.
Oh, now was this
in the country
school or
in the country? From Texas A&M, I was the number one engineer.
Kidding.
Well, man,
that's impressive. I'm honored.
I used to be smart until I started cooking barbecue.
Yeah, well, that'll do it.
That's beautiful. All right. This is a controversial one.
Next one's a controversial one.
Which one?
Carlos Beltran.
Oh, it's not controversial to me.
Not controversial to me.
No?
Go ahead, Doug.
He was part of the, as we know, and he's admitted part of the Astro fiasco, and he was knowingly organizing it and helping arrange this, and he kept doing it because management never told him to say no and to stop it, and he said he would have stopped it. My problem is he lied after it was the Athletic in 2019. Beltran said the team did not use electronic methods to steal signs, which was later proven false. And then he later admitted it. He knowingly lied. That's part of a character of a person.
He was the only player specifically called out in the report. And I am in 100% agreement with Doug. I don't care what his numbers were. I don't care. I mean, I'm not sure what I am, whether I'm a baseball historian, a statistician, or just a little man with a big mouth. But I will tell you, when a ball player does something to the history of this game that I care so much about, I have no use for him. I would be embarrassed to show my grandchildren a Carlos Beltran plaque in the Hall of Fame.
Jeff.
No, I'm in agreement. No, specifically because of the report that came out as he was named as the ringleader of that cheating scandal. But there's a lot of people who he will have support for. And the big debate being in New York, that what will he go in with a New York Mets hat? And I'm a big New York Mets fan. And to see him go in as a New York Met with a Met on his logo on his hat. I mean, after the Mets have been through so much, like the LOL Mets, and to have this guy represent, I don't want to see that. So he's a no for me.
But before this cheating scandal, I'm just curious, is he a Hall of Famer?
You know what? I was always on the fence with him.
Well, I don't know. I can't even pay attention. Do you know that before O.J. Simpson murdered his ex-wife and a waiter, he was a Hall of Famer. He still is.
That's the thing. They didn't kick him out.
I don't care what they did before.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, this is where I'm the curmudgeon. I'm sorry. It's not everybody. I mean, the fact is, I mean, there was no denial that he cheated. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that today, and it doesn't matter whenever you folks are listening to this, Gaylord Perry died. Mm-hmm. Gaylord Perry cheated. But you know what? He didn't cheat the game. He cheated the system. And it was a very different situation. And then for many years, he he pretended to cheat the system. He used to grease up his hands before he would meet an opposing player and shake hands with them. So it would be in their mind that he was greasing up the ball. He had all these tics before he threw the ball, where he would touch the back of his neck and touch his forehead and touch everything he could to give the impression that he was doing something to the ball. And I mean, Whitey Ford used to scratch the ball when a ball was thrown, given to Yogi to throw out to Whitey Ford. Yogi would scratch the ball with his ring.
Yeah.
So that Whitey could get an edge. If the umpires didn't catch him, you talk about certain aspects of cheating, and I use the word in quotation marks, that have been an aspect of this game forever. It's within the nature of it. Carlos Beltran used outside tools to cheat. And to me, in my skewed view, I see a difference. Maybe I'm wrong. I leave myself open to allowing other people to have a point of view. I won't respect the people who have another point of view.
I passed the test. Luckily, I passed.
I'll let them have another point of view.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
As Mets fans, you should appreciate Carlos Beltran hitting a foul ball.
Yeah, I mean, let me just tell you, he could look at a curve as well as anybody.
There you go. There you go.
All right, Jeff, who's next on the list?
Mark Burley.
You know, Mark Burley pitched a perfect game, and Don Larsen pitched a perfect game. Neither of them are in the Hall of Fame, and neither of them belong in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
Right. Agreed.
Thanks, Doug, bro. What do you think?
Man, as a fantasy guy, he was a stud on my team with over 200 innings, and I forgot how many seasons. Was it like 8 or something like that? But my heart says yes. But
by the way, I'm with you. I love the guy. I love him. Pitch. I loved everything about him. But, you know, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
No, he's in the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the Hall of Fame, not Hall of Great, like Malacqua said. Yes.
He had a 3.81 ERA, and he may not even be in the Hall of Very Good. I mean, that's a pretty high ERA.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on.
Although he had 214 wins, and that's going to be a big deal in the future. He's somebody who might get consideration by a committee in the future who says, well, he had 214 wins and no other pitcher who's active today has more than 16.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. This one, let's go quickly past this one.
This one.
Okay, Matt Cain.
No.
Well, come on. Come on. You're making this up now. I mean, you know what? Matt Cain had below 500 lifetime record.
Yeah.
Yeah. 101, 118.
Unless somebody has a fun story about Matt Cain or a time he came to their house for a barbecue or something, let's just move on.
Move on.
Okay. Jeff and I did a show once, Hall of Fame Year in an Ordinary Career.
That's a great topic.
Yeah, and I think this, thank you. And I think I think this next one qualifies for that. R.A. Dickey.
Yeah. So R.A. Dickey is another one who finished two games over 500. Now, let me, before I am saying anything negative about his record, knuckleball pitchers are famous for 500 type seasons and careers. They should never be judged on wins and losses. I mean, Phil Negro won 20 games numerous times. He also lost 20 games a couple of times. I mean, it just doesn't matter. But he did have a great season. He's got a great life story. He also has a 4.04 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, RA.
You know?
And by the way, he's getting no votes from anybody in Toronto. You can be assured of that.
No, we got the best year out of him.
Yes.
Yeah. Doug, any thoughts on R.A. Dickey or we move on?
He's got a 1.3 whip. That's way too high.
Okay. Okay. I mean, he does have a Cy Young.
Yeah. He does.
And here's one thing I'm just looking at right now. He led the league in game starts, you know, three times in a row, which...
Gee, I wonder if he's a knuckleballer.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Next one, Len.
Jacoby Ellsbury.
You know, there's another guy who could fall in your category of a Hall of Fame season in less than a Hall of Fame career. Here's a guy in 2009, hit 301, stole 70 bases, had 10 triples. Who the hell has 10 triples? And did everything right. And then again in 2013, talk about it. There should be a category, Hall of Fame season, that's your contract year. He hit 298, he stole 52, drove home 53, and got an amazing contract from the Yankees, and that was the end of his career.
Yeah. He should get the I made it big, you know, I
when it counted. Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Doug?
Here's the stat that I like, the two stats. He has only 104 home runs, and the average Hall of Fame center fielder has 200, and his slugging percentage is .417. The average center fielder is almost .500 on slugging.
Yeah. Excellent point.
I love those stats. See? Stats. That's excellent. So,
thank you.
Jeff, we know what you're going to say.
Yeah, no. No. Andre Ethier.
Well, you know, if he got into the Hall of Fame, he would be the second Andre. Oh, that's not a strong enough case, Doug, to get him in?
No, I'm not thinking so, no.
No, he's just one of these guys who was a good player. Dodger fans loved him. The team loved him. If the Dodgers put him in their Hall of Fame, I wouldn't object to it. Not in Cooperstown.
Okay. Yeah, agreed. All right.
He only hit better than 300 in two seasons. Two-time All-Star. Yeah. He was good for a few years.
He never was a bad player, really. Agreed. I mean, he contributed, but, you know.
One of the rare players, I guess, in this era where he played with only one team. He only played with the Dodgers.
See, that's nice.
Yeah.
That is. Yeah. That's heartwarming.
Let's put him in the Dodgers Hall of Fame.
That's heartwarming.
Yeah. By the way, that's great. It
warms the cockles of your heart.
Yes.
Said with peace and love. Peace and love.
Exactly.
Peace and love. All right. Jeff, who's next?
Shortstop, J.J. Hardy. Sounding like all the people here.
Okay, so he was a three-time Gold Glove winner.
That's something.
Yeah.
Defense matters.
In lieu of being in the Hall of Fame, he can look at his three times Gold Gloves. He made the All-Star team a couple of times, but the guy's a .256 hitter. And Bill Mazeroski, I don't have his stats right now as to what he hit, but Maz was, I mean, people raved about Mazeroski's fielding. I mean, they went on and on about what a spectacular fielder he was. Now, when I bring up to my colleague Bob Ryan, well, you know, Maz probably shouldn't, if it weren't for the home run. And he said, yes, I agree if it weren't for the home run. But if you had seen him field, you would realize why he's in the Hall of Fame. J.J. Hardy doesn't bring anything to the table.
I've got a question for you on this. Defense and offense. Now we're going to get to a player who his defense is, you know, what
spectacular.
Will right.
Spectacular. So, we're very close.
But it's not it should be equal, but it's not.
Right. But you do need to, and that's where you have to put the balance in. But you need somebody who is great defensively, who can also bring something to the plate. And that person will be coming up shortly.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Now, this is an interesting.
Because I know the alphabet.
This next one is interesting because of, you know, where he played is one thing. But Todd Helton. Doug, you start with this one. Yes. Todd Helton.
I am a pro Todd Helton candidate. We cannot fault him for being in Coors Field for his entire career. In fact, I actually admire that he stayed with them for as long as he did when he had chances to leave. I think Toronto was pursuing him. I mean, it's not like if Aaron Judge comes up, we're going to fault him for the short right field that we have in New York, in the New York Stadium. So I think he was a multi-tool player, and I am a Todd Helton fan, yes. I vote
so
yes.
You say yes.
I say yes.
Okay. Well, I was a probably yes, and then I did a little research because I wanted to be like Doug. He had a 300 batting average 12 times. Now, I'm going to tell you, he didn't hit over 500 every season at Coors Field, so he had to do some good hitting on the road. He had an OBP of over 409 times. He had slugging percentages above 508 times. He had 40 doubles or more 7 times, 30 homers or more 6 times. And twice he topped 400 total bases. He drew at least 100 walks in a season 5 times. Yet, he struck out 100 times or more only once. And 9 times he walked more than he struck out. This guy, okay, let's all of us picture ourselves in the ballpark. Coming in to visit your team are the Colorado Rockies, and you find that Todd Helton is not in the lineup that day. Do you feel disappointed? Do you feel cheated? Do you feel as if you've missed out on something? I know I would.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? Did not, I'm looking at it right now, just as you're talking, did not realize he had struck out only 100 more times once in a season and walked more than strikeouts. That is
something.
That is something.
Yeah. And
all 17 years played in Colorado. He did lead the league in RBIs in 2000 with 147. He had, that was a great year.
Five-time All-Star.
Yep.
Won a batting title.
Yep.
This is, to me, that takes away the Coors Field to a certain extent. Obviously, he had a better batting average. It was 332, but away it was 285.
We'd be thrilled if anybody hit 285 anywhere.
Right. Okay, so, Bill, I'm assuming then you're a yes on that?
I'm a solid yes.
Okay. Jeff?
I am going to go with yes, because looking deeper in the numbers, it's hard to argue.
Yeah. I was always a Todd Helton fan, so I also give him a yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
Give him a call. Come on. Yeah. Ring him. Ring him up.
Oh, Todd, I've got great news.
The Baseball and Barbecue Podcast is putting you in the Hall of Fame.
You're in the Hall of Fame. And by the way, so far, it's only two of you, so.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, who's next?
A hell of a player. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. Torrey Hunter. Doug, you want to start here?
I am a Torrey Hunter fan because of the defense. I think, didn't he get a defensive award for 9 seasons?
Yeah,
he had nine gold gloves.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just amazed at that. And like Lynn said, defense is not given as much priority as offense is, because it's hard to measure the defensive skills, you know, from one player to another. So I am a Torrey Hunter fan, and I say yes.
Really?
I want to listen to the two of you, because I'm a probably no, but I want you to know that I always refer to him as Torrey II Hunter. And, you know, given the opportunity to maybe show somebody his, if I showed my grandchildren his plaque, I would say, you know, he pronounced that Tory II. And I would just for the pleasure of, the guy was a 277 hitter. He played for a long time. He was very good defensively. He just basically did the same in the postseason. He was a 274 postseason hitter. I never considered him a difference maker. I thought he was a great, he's a perfect example of the Hall of Very Good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with no.
I'm going to go with no too, but I do think he's better than Hal Baines, but yes. I'm going to go no.
I agree. I'm a no, even though he, well, you guys gave the argument, whatever, Doug, Bill, Jeff, I'll just say no.
By the way, one other thing, and I don't live and die with war, but he only had a 50 war in 19 seasons.
50.7 to be exact.
Okay, fine. He's in. If it had only been 50.0.
He was all-star five times.
But is that a reflection of his competition, a reflection of his quality of play, or a reflection of the two eyes at the end of his name?
It was the two eyes, of course, because he could see. Yeah, I mean,
50.7 is not a great war in 19.7 seasons for a Hall of Famer.
All right.
Do you think playing 19 seasons would actually detract sometimes if depending on your age and how you perform in, you know, let's say seasons 15 through 19? His home run is 353. The average outfielder is under 300. In fact, they're probably under 250 for most outfielders in the Hall of Fame. Those are people in the Hall of Fame.
I'm sorry, how many home runs did Nat LaJoie hit? I mean, he only hit over 30 homers, what, once in 19 seasons? Yeah, only once. And when you ask me if I think that longevity detracts from him, in his last five seasons, he hit .281, which actually was better than his lifetime average, and he hit 95 home runs. So, not good enough for me. But I will have to tell you that it would bother me if he were eliminated from the ballot and we didn't consider him again in the future.
Len, who's next?
I'm excited about this one because I'm going to give my opinion right away. Andrew Jones, yes. I know you're going to
hate that, Jeff. That's not an opinion. That's just an answer. What's the opinion?
I say yes. I feel yes, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And Jeff, I know as a Met fan, you would say no.
Not as a Met fan, but you know, he did come onto the... He came onto the league very, very hot. I mean, in 86, he started 19 years old, hitting in the World Series, those home runs. He just lit the baseball world on fire. But, you know, and don't get me wrong, terrific defense, 10-time Gold Glove winner, 5-time All-Star. But his offensive stat just doesn't do it for me. I mean,
434 home runs. 434 home runs, Jeff.
I know, but 254 average. He struck out over 100 times, a dozen times here. I mean,
he had one season of 51 homers, one season of 54 homers, and then five seasons of 30 plus homers. And his fielding was magnificent.
Yes, center field.
10-time Gold Glove winner.
Right. And for a reason. I mean, to have a center fielder like him, he was... I will admit that of all the years he played 17 seasons, he faded pretty fast. And that's too bad because he was that good a player. I'm just taking a look. He never was a great hitter for average. I mean, it was only after his third full season that he hit over .270. And in his last five seasons, his average went from .263 to .259 to .256 to .256 twice and then .254 where he ended. He didn't end well, but I'm just telling you, to see a guy, I mean, I would take him in center field at least as comfortably as I would Junior Griffey.
That's a compliment. Wow. That's, you know, big.
I'm now saying, I mean, Junior made spectacular plays, but man, Andrew Jones just seemed to be all over the field. And I mean, 434 home runs. I mean, that's the combination. So I'm giving him a yes, but I respect you for saying no.
Thank you. Doug, you're the deciding vote here.
Oh my goodness. So we have two yeses, Lynn. I have a philosophical issue with him. I read that he was arrested on domestic assault charges in 2012. Oh,
I did not know that.
And so if true, and that's what I read, I would have to say no.
If that's true, I would say no as well.
Yeah, I would change mine also, but I did not know that.
He was a yes until I saw that. And so philosophically, okay, I would just have to say no.
So are you changing your vote, Bill?
Yes, I have changed my vote.
So no. Now we're all no. Okay.
Sorry, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Doug.
Buzzkill. Just call me Buzzkill.
Yeah, Andrew Jones is going to send you, you know, a dead flowers.
Andrew, well, better dead flowers than.
Okay.
Yeah, it was early Christmas Day he was arrested in 2012.
2012, that's what I read.
Yep.
Wow.
And, his wife wanted him to help prepare the house for Christmas. At that point, she told police that Jones became angry, grabbed her left arm. She pulled away, but he grabbed her by the ankle, pulled her down and put his hands around her neck saying, "I want to kill you. I want to expletive kill you."
Oh, and
that's the end of that story.
So let me ask you guys, how much do you think that things like this have an effect on the voters, you know, the ones with the actual ballots?
I think in some cases it does. I don't mean to be wishy-washy at this, and I think an assault charge in some cases is not like the answer of pregnancy. Either you are or you aren't. I think there are some nuances sometimes, and I would hope that anybody who is voting takes those things into consideration. I don't know how else to respond to that.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
That's a good point, because you could be falsely accused and arrested, et cetera. So, but that sounds pretty serious to me.
And there could be extenuating circumstances. I mean, you just don't know. Just don't know. I mean, you almost always appropriately have to blame the man in any domestic situation. Mm-hmm. But you don't know if vases were thrown at his head before that. I'm just saying, I'm not defending anybody in this case. I'm just saying it's important that we hear the facts.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Len's favorite, next one.
Yeah. Well, this is one I've, with me, if the guy's a Hall of Famer, he's a Hall of Famer. He doesn't go on the ballot 1 year. You think he is in the Hall of Fame.
This is his last year on the ballot.
Yeah, I know. And I felt the whole time he's been on, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Jeff Kent.
All right. Why?
Well, he's got the most home runs for a second baseman. I'm going to leave stats and things like that to our honorable guests, but I always thought, I mean, Jeff Kent, MVP, five-time All-Star. You know, he played with Barry Bonds, which you should, you know, get an award just for that. But although,
well, wait a second. You see, let me just tell, I don't mean to interrupt. It's very rude of me, because you're giving a solid case. But one of the reasons that I say yes on Jeff Kent, I'll give this away, is because he fought with Barry Bonds in the dugout. And anybody who fights with Barry Bonds because they find him irascible, to me, is a Hall of Famer.
The only thing with Jeff Kent is his defense. It takes away from it. But I've always felt that Jeff Kent was a Hall of Famer. And I know, I don't think Jeff did, but you guys, Bill, Doug, whoever wants to start, go ahead.
You know, the guy, he was an all-star five times, but you know, here's some, he was in the postseason seven times with different teams. He was a guy who made a difference on teams. Not only did he have the most home runs, but he had 74 more than like Ryan Sandberg, 85 more than Joe Morgan. So, I mean, these guys are, these are the real deal. And he had an 855 OPS, which is really impressive. And he fought with Barry Bonds.
A 500 slugging, too. And he fought with Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Now, well, that's one of his sluggings.
I understand. I understand that he was known for having a prickly personality. And I only bring that up because I like to be able to use the word prickly.
It's a good word. Yeah. Let's all say it. Prickly. Yeah, prickly.
Yes. Well, there were times when actually they would walk both Bonds and Kent. So yeah. he was a threat. And the five-time All-Star game.
He was a good ball player. I mean, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think anybody would be embarrassed showing Jeff Kent. And his brother, you know, Clark Kent, was Superman.
No.
Yeah, it's a true story.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But Jeff didn't wear glasses. He I'm not sure.
That's right.
Doug, what's your vote?
I said yes last year. I went into this saying no, and I'm saying yes again. I'm going to say yes.
So I'm saying no because he doesn't pass the smell test for me. Looking at his stats, he doesn't have, he only has two bold font on
black ink.
Baseball Reference.
Black ink.
It's on Sacrifices.
Yeah.
No black ink on Baseball Reference. And I never thought of him as a Hall of Fame. Never thought, and if, I'm saying no, but I'm outvoted. So I guess he goes in on our ballot.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's what
that was. Lynn, you were a yes, Lynn?
Oh, I was an absolute yes. I've been a yes.
I'm just joking.
Yes, oh. You got me.
I think the next three are pretty easy. John Lackey, Mike Napoli, and Johnny Peralta.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the only reason that anybody should vote for Johnny Peralta is that they know how to spell his first name.
That's right.
I mean, you know, but the rest is, it's embarrassing to the writers to have those guys in there.
Yeah.
What's really embarrassing is if one of them gets a vote.
Well, if one of these guys gets a vote, then their credentials should be questioned.
Yeah.
And Doug should take the place.
Oh.
Doug, you got opinions on any of these or should we?
I was a no on all of them. Yeah, I was a no.
Okay. Go ahead, Jeff. Who's next?
Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit.
Yeah. Andy Pettit was a very good pitcher. Andy Pettit admitted to using steroids after his elbow injury. Andy Pettit was a very good pitcher, but he was not that good a pitcher. He still had a 3.85 ERA. And to me, the combination of the two makes it an easy no for me.
Yeah, I'm a no also. I mean, he has 100 games over 500 in his career, but he pitched for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Earned those great, great runs. So, you know, he took
Doug was 70 games over 500 pitching for the Yankees.
Yeah.
I'd love to be undefeated, but yes. Yeah. So.
I think Pettit belongs in the Hall of Very Good. I'd take him on my staff anytime, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Doug?
I agree with that. His postseason records to me are pretty impressive. He has the record for wins, innings pitched, but that's because the Yankees were in the playoffs so many times. But I have to agree with you. And plus, even though he gets a free pass because he did admit that he did it, but he still uses a
yeah. By the way, he was a great teammate, and he was great with fans. And I think it was great that he admitted that he did it.
Yep, he did. So, I mean, if someone were to get in that used PEDs, you know, PEDs, I would put him in. But
Yeah, but
I love him. I love Andy Pettit. In fact, I loved how he looked over the glove.
I love that. I love that stare.
So my heart says yes, but my brain says no.
Right.
Leonard?
Yeah. Well, I say no. I mean, at least he admitted to using PEDs. Let's discount that. His one loss record, it really is impressive, actually. But for now, if you see, that's the 256 wins.
Huge.
You know, huge. And
absolutely.
I mean,
I agree with you 100%.
You know, I say no. I agree with Jeff when he says Hall of Very Good. And again, you can't take away, like with Carlos Beltran, we're not going to look at he cheated. Andy admitted it, but he did cheat. But one day I could see, like with the Harold Baines, I could see him going in.
Yeah, because he was so well liked, but
he was like a very likable guy. Yes.
Yeah.
How many
11% of the votes? Yeah. 11% of the votes after 5 years. It's going to be a tough road for him.
Yep. Yeah. No, he won't.
How many Cy Young awards did this man win? Yeah. None.
No,
he was only a three-time All-Star also, all those wins.
Yeah.
I mean, he had so many seasons with an ERA over four. He had, I'm counting them up here, just quick glance looks like either 8 or 10. I mean, that's a lot of ERAs over four. Yeah.
Well, Bill, what's acceptable in, so now, of course, the DH is in both leagues, but it was always acceptable for an American League pitcher to have a higher ERA because they were pitching.
I agree with you, but to me, a Hall of Famer has to be, I mean, I'm just throwing this off without giving much thought, but I question anybody with an ERA over 3.5.
Okay. Wait, no matter you? The league.
What about you?
The average ERA of a Hall of Famer is 3.0. Is right at 3.0.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so you can't really consider somebody who's giving up a half a run more. I mean, half a run's a lot of runs.
And his WHIP is 1.351.
Yes. Yes.
Like I said, benefit for playing with the Yankees.
Right.
All right. Moving on. Next one is, speaking of steroids, Manny Ramirez.
Okay. Manny Ramirez was the greatest right-hand hitter that I've seen. I wouldn't vote for him if he were, I don't know. I would vote for him against Trump and Abbott and DeSantis, but that's about it.
Yeah, he's a great player, 12-time All-Star.
Yeah. I never stopped being entertained by Manny. I always referred to him as Manny B. Period Manny, his full name.
Right.
When Manny was being Manny, it was the most fun. I saw him throw places that I've never seen anybody throw to a base like that in my life. Mm-hmm. And then he would make a great play after that. But, you know, the guy, even after the rules were heavily in place, was using steroids left and right.
Yep. He got suspended twice. Under a joint drug agreement. Twice.
Yeah.
He was so no.
How much so Len?
I say no to that as well, but we were
entertained.
Absolutely.
Bill is right. We were entertained.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, he was fun. He was somebody who, if he weren't playing, I'd get upset. I mean, but you know, you don't, as I well know, you don't honor the class clown.
Right. Next one could be arguably the best third baseman in Yankee history, Alex Rodriguez.
Or the best shortstop on the Yankees.
Well, he was the best shortstop. Jeter was the second best shortstop on that team. But we won't go there. Doug, what about you?
He's a PED user, no.
Okay.
I agree. And not only that, I'm pretty sure that he was a PED user long before he tested repeatedly positive. And the way baseball has tried to normalize his behavior to me is embarrassing to the sport.
Right.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's an ambassador. He's on the, we all know what A-Rod's doing now. But we all have to remember that he was out of baseball for a year. He tried suing the Yankees. I would say no. Big no. to A-Rod.
But man, you used to love to watch the guy play.
Absolutely. If he wasn't in the lineup,
yeah,
he's very upset.
He's a guy that you he was also the kind of player that fans love to hate. I was in Boston for most of A-Rod's career. Man, they had the best time hating him.
You know, if he did half of his stats, he had three MVPs, 14-time All-Star, 696 home runs, and a .295 batting average. If he had hit half the home runs and had one MVP, he might be a Hall of Famer without the steroids. We don't know, but
I agree with you. I agree with you. Then again, we don't know what. Right.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. But what numbers he put up. Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. We're at the third column now. I'm heading into the home stretch. Francisco Rodriguez.
Another abuse
closer.
Thing. Yeah. But this one, he had an incident in the Mets dugout where he tried to strangle his girlfriend's father. And that was in front of people.
And he pleaded guilty to that. That was in 2010. In 2012, he was arrested for another domestic abuse charge. There's some other things too.
Uh-huh.
He's just somebody who you can't consider.
Yep. No, I agree.
He wasn't friendly to other players too. He used to badmouth players from what I remember.
I do remember. I mean, look, just remember, fourth on the all-time saves list. Single season save record. When he came in, when the Angels were in the postseason as a rookie, he was as exciting as can be. But you never know what that early success did to his head, but he was a bad man.
Yep.
So Doug, I got a question for them. What's your opinion on relief pitchers? When I'm not Jeff, I'm not trying to get you upset. I'm not bringing him up.
No rants, Jeff.
Doug?
I said no rants, Jeff. Not today.
Yeah.
Not on.
I just want to know because
you know what? We've got a relief pitcher to discuss coming up. Let's save it for that. Okay.
Yeah.
You got
let's
it.
Do that. Yes.
Next right, one so is this one is a borderline for me. Scott Rolen. Try to convince me.
He had over 2,000 hits. He was an amazing third baseman. 8 gold gloves, 7 all-star appearances. And, his postseason wasn't that great, but it was a combination of strong offense and elite defense. And I would like to hear what Doug has to say before I am a probable yes on Scott Rolen.
7-time All-Star, 8-time Gold Glove winner at third base. His slugging percentage is 40 points higher. It's 490 as compared to 450, which is the average Hall of Famer. His home runs of 316 for a third baseman is about almost 100 higher than the average Hall of Famer. So if you look at those types of let's look at his batting average. His batting average was what? 281?
281.
Yeah, so his batting average is about the same as the average Hall of Famer third baseman. I'm talking all of my stats when I look at it, it's by position.
So are you in or out?
I'm in. I'm saying yes.
So you're a yes.
So that's two yeses.
Oh, so you are a yes.
You are. You're going to commit. You're going to.
Yeah,
as
I said, I've been a probable yes. His defense was exceptional too. I mean, I'll tell you something. Boy, they have great fielding third basemen in St. Louis. That's all I gotta say. They know
they're a factory. They're a factory.
Yeah.
They do.
I'm a yes on this too. He also has a rookie of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, he does.
Yeah. He does.
Scott Rolen was definitely when I looked at this list, that was one name that I thought is a Hall of Famer, so, you know.
And you guys have convinced me, and him being the premier third baseman in his era, I have to say yes.
Yay!
So. Congratulations, Scott Rolen.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
I think that's 4 now we have.
We have 4 and 3 are unanimous.
Right.
Yes.
Or Jeff Kent.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Next one is Jimmy Rollins. Who wants to start us off?
He was he won the MVP once. He made the All-Star team three times. He won the Gold Glove four times. But he was a lifetime 264 hitter. And, you know, I mean, as shortstops are not expected to hit real well, but you know what? We've seen great shortstops hit. He had 231 homers. We're not expecting to see a lot of shortstops hit a lot of home runs, but we've seen better. And the ones who are better are in the Hall of Fame. And I don't see Jimmy Rollins as a Hall of Famer.
I would agree with that. His batting average is much lower. I say only a three-time All-Star. I kind of have a five kind of as a minimum floor kind of thing. But so I would also say no.
I'm a no also, but I will say this, that he came to play every day. Looking at his baseball reference page, a lot of black ink, played every day, was out there, led the league in triples four times. But yeah, he was very, again, Hall of very good. I just don't see him as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. By the way, when you say came to play every day, I mean, he must have had 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. He had 10 seasons of over 154 games played. Yeah. I mean, that's a great guy to have on your team. That's a really, really good ball player. I mean, maybe he didn't play up to Hall of Fame standards, but definitely Hall of Very Good standards.
Definitely.
Agreed. Agreed. That's all. Yeah, I say same thing. A no, but I certainly would like to have him on my team.
Right. Well said.
Len, who's next?
Okay, well, this one's going to, I guess if we're following our pattern, this one I could probably already predict, but Gary Sheffield.
He had great numbers. He had great numbers. But offensively, defensively, he may be the worst person on this ballot. I mean, he was horrendous defensively. He admitted to using steroids. And then Tom Verducci said that he's the only star he knew as an active player without provocation admitted to using steroids because he felt duped. But you know what? I just don't believe it. But I will say this. As a fan, I was scared looking at him at the plate.
Oh, yeah.
He'd come up there and he would wave that bat like it was a toothpick. Not a toothpick that Dusty Baker would put in his mouth. But, I mean, he was amazing to watch at the plate. But I'm going to say no. Doug, you're going to disagree?
No, I'm not going to disagree. I'm going to say his stats. I think his stats are worthy of Hall of Fame, but he used the cream. He's a PED user. And philosophically, I just have to say no, because if I was a player and I knew someone else was taking things that gave them an advantage that were not legal, I would be so pissed.
How do you like to be a pitcher? I mean,
and
have your numbers distorted because of a guy like Gary Sheffield? You know,
I will say that dangerous hitter, he was on eight teams, never, and it always bounced around. There's got to be a reason why he couldn't stay in one place for more than, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. I mean, he was on Florida for 6 years, but everywhere else is 4 years or less. And well, using PEDs.
In part, he was defensively challenged.
Exactly, yeah. So he's probably best off in the American League, but he played 22 seasons. 509 home runs, you know, dangerous hitter, but using as a user, I am going against that. So, Len, I'm a no.
Yeah, I'm a no. He in the Mitchell report, again, you don't know what his stats would have been if he wasn't using. But did I love watching Gary Sheffield play? You better believe it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see him when I go into the Hall of Fame. Maybe when I go to the museum that's at the Hall of Fame, I wouldn't mind seeing stuff.
Or if I were going to see a show in which the guy who imitates batting stances, because he, you know, I consider him kind of like the guy who just passed away who hits watermelons, you know.
Gallagher.
Yeah,
eh?
Yeah, the prop comic. But if you want to see negative numbers sometime, just go to Gary Sheffield's fielding R totes. I mean, it's just unbelievable. As a shortstop, which is my recollection of how he started, he allowed 22 more runs than he saved. I mean, he was minus 22 as a shortstop.
That's not good.
Not yes, I think that's it. That's the that's the phrase I was looking for.
Next up is Hudson Street. I don't think there's much discussion here.
You know, in New York City, they refer to him as Houston Street.
Right, exactly.
Can you tell me how to get to Hudson Street?
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
You know, the thing is, he was a pretty good pitcher. So I would put him in the Hall of Pretty Good.
Yeah, we can.
Doug?
Yeah, you know, he went to Texas. So, you know, being from A&M, that's kind of a, you know, he's already has a strike against him. No pun intended.
I love that. I love that.
So, you know, but I did actually see him. I think I saw him at the College World Series when I went up there one year to Rosenblatt. But I was actually impressed by his numbers. He didn't have quite the save amount that I would think a Hall of Fame pitcher would have. His whip is 1.066, an ERA of 2.95. So I thought the numbers were a lot better than I anticipated, but just not quite Hall of Fame.
I agree with you, by the way. And his save percentage comparable to other Hall of Famers and other people were considering. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was around 85 or 86%. I mean, a lot of good numbers, but, you know, just not enough.
I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised that the numbers were so good.
Yeah.
All right. Here's one that is another controversial one, I would say. Omar Vizquel.
I'm going to save Doug the time because he's my new buddy. He's my new best buddy.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are besties.
Allegation of domestic violence against his now ex-wife and sexual harassment of an autistic bat boy while he was serving as a minor league manager. How this man could be considered and that there will be people who are voting for him simply because of his on-the-field behavior is beyond my comprehension.
Bill, I was always a yes for Omar Vizquel until I did not know those allegations and those charges.
Well, a lot of that came up late. I mean, people didn't
know. Exactly. I mean,
he had to be one of these guys where he probably said to himself, "Oh, please don't put me on the ballot. Please don't put me on the ballot because everybody's going to know."
I thought of him as the American League Ozzie Smith without the somersault. He was that great of a fielder. He wouldn't get in on his offense, but he'd get on his defense. But now, knowing what we know now, I have to go now. Len?
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, also, right now, and thankfully it is the case, and Bill was talking about, you know, before we, with the domestic abuse and all this, we take it so much more seriously now. Years ago, if Omar Vizquel was on the ballot, you know, you'd have people saying, "Oh, well, you don't know what happened, this and that." And he might even get in. I'm just glad that now things have changed and we take it more seriously. And definitely he is not a Hall of Famer.
All right. Next one is Billy Wagner. Doug.
Oh, Billy. Billy's my friend. I'm going to say yes on Billy Wagner.
Dang.
And there is one stat. Let me see. I'm trying to figure out where he is. There's one stat that he has the best in baseball history.
Yes, he has the lowest opponent batting average for any pitcher who has thrown at least 800 innings of 187.
Wow, I didn't know that. My stat for him, best ever, is his K per nine. It's 11.9. It's the best ever. His whip was 0.998.
Yes.
How you could even say no on this person, Jeff, I'm not sure. I want to hear why.
I'll give you one reason why. First of all, relievers need to be extraordinary. They're just, and in the same way, I feel like, oh, thanks for offering wine to all of us, Doug.
My wife just came in and she just brought me a glass of wine.
Okay. In the same way that designated hitters need to be extraordinary, that's how I view relievers. Amongst the relievers who are in the Hall of Fame, he has the lowest WAR of all of them. Number two, he has as I recall, let me pull this up here, a particularly weak 14 games in the postseason, in which he had a 10.03 ERA and a 1.97 WHIP. And now, granted, you can't count all these things because he only threw 11.2 innings in the postseason, and that's the curse of all relievers, is that everything's a small sample. And so if you throw a couple of bad innings, but he of the 14 games that he appeared in, he only had two in which he held the opponent scoreless, one in which he threw one inning and the other in which he threw a third of an inning. So he was not the type of pitcher that you could rely on. And my issue with Billy Wagner all along has been the fact that I didn't feel as if he pitched in a lot of pressure situations. I mean, to me, there's no greater differential for a reliever between Mariano Rivera and whomever you want to put in second place. There's no other position that has as great a differential between first and second with Mariano Rivera. I would not, just to go on record, I would not have voted for Lee Smith. I do think Trevor Hoffman deserved to be in there, but I've been on the borderline with Billy Wagner, and it's just not enough there for me. But I'd love to hear the other two voters.
Yeah.
Well, no, go ahead. If you want to defend him, Doug.
I do. His there's only eight closers in the Baseball Hall of Fame, first of all, right? So, yeah. And Billy Wagner, closers are about saves, right? The .998 WHIP, the Ks per nine, best in baseball history for, I think, pitchers with over 700 innings, and his saves of 422 would put him at number four in the Hall of Fame, number four in terms of saves. So I can't see those statistics that are so strong that the other things and the non-pressure and those sorts of things, I just don't think that weighs enough to say no. I'm an absolute yes.
Ooh, Jeff, a one and one, Len.
Okay. Billy Wagner never, I looked at his stats when we were doing this, but I never thought of Billy Wagner as a Hall of Famer. I just never did. And I still don't. Yes, Hall of Very Good, 422 saves, seven-time All-Star.
Seven-time All-Star.
No. Well, you know, All-Stars are also fan voting, which is what we are and what we're doing now. But
Cubs had many years where they didn't really have an All-Star, but they got one anyway. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm a no on this. Billy Wagner, to me, is not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and, you know, I have a bias against relief pitchers. I mean, like Bill said, you have to be extraordinary. And I think the save rule is a flawed rule anyway. Just by virtue of being up by three runs and to end the game, you get a save. I mean, that's, you know, you should be able to get three outs. So I'm a no. It's just, I just, like I said, I have a bias against relievers and has to be extraordinary, extraordinary good. And he just wasn't that above anybody else. So that's a no for me.
I'm with you guys. I just need to say that of all of my no's, he's the hardest one for me. Mm-hmm. He was good. I mean, he was good. But the other thing that, you know, I respect you guys so much, and I respect you even more because not one of you brought up anything about wins and losses, because you should never do that with relievers. And
well, Billy Wagner had zero shutouts. You know that.
Yeah. Yes. On the other hand,
no complete games.
On the other hand, Raleigh Fingers had two. So, Mr. Smarty Pants. But, you know, you look at a guy like Bruce Sutter, and you look at Trevor Hoffman, and you look at Raleigh Fingers. I'm not as sold on Goose Gossage as other people are either. But, you know, postseason matters to me with relievers. I mean, there's no room for mistakes.
Yeah, agreed.
Mistakes.
Well, is it Trevor Hoffman that was always, they always said he was never in any pressure situation, and the one he was in.
Right. Trevor Hoffman wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was in 12 postseason games as opposed to the 14 that Wagner was in, but Wagner had a 10 ERA and Hoffman had a 3.46.
But, you know, as we've seen in the season, I mean, this season that just finished with Diaz, Edwin Diaz of the Mets, during the season, there are pressure situations in the game. So not everything has to be postseason, but Billy Wagner is just not a Hall of Famer.
No.
The Herald, you know, you said the Herald was the, you know, Baines was the Mendoza line with the only 8 closers. And I hate to compare to other people that are in the Hall, but I would say that his stats are better than Bruce Sutter as well as Hoyt Wilhelm.
Okay. Hoyt Wilhelm is a totally different situation.
I understand. Yeah. He had a lot of game starts and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
I mean, he and Eck are in a totally different,
but Bruce Sutter. Yeah, so
Bruce
so
Sutter invented,
and I'm a Cub fan.
And Sutter was a tremendous pitcher who pitched in a lot of clutch situations. I would say if you had said to me Lee Smith, I would take I would put Billy Wagner in before I'd put in Lee Smith.
Yeah, he's the next up. Yeah. So yeah, he was my sixth rated, and I would say Wagner is above that. But yeah.
I will not be upset if Billy Wagner makes the Hall of Fame. And I would have no trouble showing his plaque to my grandchildren.
Okay.
Well, this is his eighth year on the ballot. I don't know what his percentage was. I don't think is he near it, Jeff? Percentage wise?
I think he had 51%.
Okay. So he has an outside chance.
Outside.
All right. So we have the last two, which I know we've gone long today, but last two, I don't think there's much of a discussion with Jared Weaver and Jason Worth.
They both have the same initials.
They do.
Yeah. Now, I would put them in the JW Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Where is the JW Hall of Fame located, Bill?
That would be in Justin, Washington.
Perfect. It's the Marriott, the JW Marriott.
At the Marriott, yes.
So, gentlemen, a final tally, we have 4. And I got to tell you, I am surprised of this ballot because, you know, we did discuss it, looking into the numbers, looking into the all the stats and whatnot. We have 4 Hall of Famers that we're voting in, and I didn't think we're going to have any. So Bobby Abreu, Todd Helton, Jeff Kent, and Scott Rowland.
Okay, I have one last question for you three wise men. Do you think any of them will get elected?
I think Todd Helton and Scott Rowland have a good chance.
Yes, I agree with that.
I don't think Jeff Kent is, just because he's had, 31% at the last
year?
Yeah,
he won't.
He's on his last year on the writer's ballot. I don't think he's happening.
Yeah, I think Rowland and Helton have the best chance. And I think, I don't know whether either of them are going to make it. And I hope that I didn't unfairly influence you guys with my enthusiasm for Bobby Abreu.
No, you sold us. So
I'm really, I wish he knew how much I would love to write publicity for him for the voting, because I really like him. I don't think he'll ever make the Hall of Fame.
So this is, like I said, this episode is a rather long one, And yeah, go ahead, Doug.
I have one stat, which I thought, because I re-listened to the Kurt Bavakwa episode. Mm-hmm. And Lynn, this is for you. A third of the voters vote for 10 people. Over a third. That's quite a bit. So there's a lot of people that are going to get the distribution of votes.
Well, I'm going to say in part, I would say the 30 that voted for 10 people.
The 33% or 33%. Yeah.
Yeah. Included Bonds, Clemens, Schilling.
Yeah.
And so then we're really voting for 7.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Okay. I think it's awful that, you know, a lot of the writers complain that they only have room for 10 votes. I would like it cut. Not only would I like it cut down, but I would like the Hall of Fame to agree on a number of people who can be in the Hall of Fame. And if you elect somebody, you have to kick somebody out. Yeah. And let's see how many people get elected to the Hall.
They have trouble enough getting people in.
Yeah,
it's only the contemporary ballot and past, you know, the past consideration.
Yeah. So I was going to say, we have to have a little barbecue talk here. So guys, Doug, Bill, it's December. What are you cooking on the grill?
Well, Bill, I'll let you go first.
Oh, the only thing I'll use my indoor grill and cook some salmon.
Oh, that's good.
And I'll make it with a bourbon barbecue powder
that
I put on it, and top that off with some cilantro and a little bit of breadcrumbs just to thicken it up a little bit, and a little olive oil spray.
That sounds actually very good. It's making me hungry.
Sounds very good. In fact, Bill, offline, I'm going to have you give me your email, and I'm going to send you a salmon recipe that I have for you.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. I also make a hoisin salmon.
Oh, that sounds good.
But this hoisin salmon, what makes it so unique, and I really encourage people to try it, I put some garlic powder on first, slather it with hoisin sauce, and then powder that with cinnamon, and then spray a little olive oil spray and sesame seeds, and it is magnificent.
Yeah, I love the hoisin. Mixing cinnamon in there is actually an interesting combination.
Just give it a try sometime. We've never had somebody who doesn't like it.
Okay, well, I want you to try mine, because mine's good both hot and cold, and I love cold smoked salmon.
Cold smoked salmon.
This is the closest thing that I've done that's close to a cold smoked. Whole Foods has the best cold smoked salmon. If you have Whole Foods, do y'all have Whole Foods where you're at?
So, Whole Foods.
Yeah, get their cold smoked salmon. It's like gold because you pay $25 a pound for it or something like that. It's outrageous, but it's worth it. We would savor just little bites of it over a period of a week. So
Doug, when you send me the recipe, you'll send me a gift certificate to Whole Foods?
No, because I want you to cook my recipe at home
and not have to pay
the $25. That's my point.
Oh, so. That's his gift to you.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah. In fact, I will. There's a couple of things that you need. I will have, if you send me those, your address, I will, because it's for Head Country and I use their barbecue sauce as well as their rub. I will have those sent to you, and then you can try, as long as you have jalapeno juice. Jalapeno juice.
I bathe in it.
No, come on. This is you're speaking my love language here. I love it.
So. Okay. I want to say just what an honor it's been this year to be part of this new family of on this podcast, and I so appreciate the opportunity to be able to plug in Scoring Position, 40 years of a love affair of a baseball love affair that Bob Ryan and I collaborated on, and I want to tell you that I'm honored to say that Spitball Magazine has named us a finalist for the Baseball Book of the Year. It's the Casey Award. And while I know you guys can't vote, I just want to say it still makes a wonderful holiday present.
Oh, absolutely.
Baseball it's a great book. In your life. And Bob and I are in the process of finalizing a deal for another book in which we talk a 40-year love affair with jalapeno juice.
And you're going to have to come on this podcast to promote that one as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can I just tell you guys, this is why we do this. Okay. I hope that everybody listening is thoroughly entertained, but you know what? Jeff and I are thoroughly entertained. And that's and the fact that we get to spend our evening with you two, it's just incredible. That's all I'm going to say. I'm so grateful to you guys. And I feel just so overwhelmed that you guys joined us on our podcast. It's
yes.
You make it so much fun. So thank you
very
you.
Much. Bill, why don't you give us your social media if anybody wants to follow you on Twitter or whatever?
Yeah, I'm at Billy Ball on Twitter. And please do not hesitate to drop me an email, walkoffs@gmail.com. If you're in the Chicago area, every Saturday in the Chicago Sun-Times, I've got a baseball quiz that is fun and silly and about a lot of things with Chicago baseball, but about many, many other things. The focus for this coming week will be the David Letterman show. So there you go.
And Doug, what about your social media and websites?
You can find me at Rogue Cookers on Facebook, Twitter, as well as Instagram. I post into Instagram 3-4 times a week, recipes, etc. I've got a website, roguecookers.com. And next week, I'll be going to E3 Meat Company, which is based out of Fort Scott, Kansas, cooking for them. They have an anti-human sex trafficking fundraising event. And so I'll be cooking there along with Chef Eric from Kamado Joe. So it'll be fun.
And Doug, wonderful. Why don't you tell Bill Chuck who's involved with E3 Meat?
Oh, yes. E3, error on the first baseman. Adam LaRoche is the primary owner.
No kidding.
Yes.
No kidding. That's terrific.
I've met him and actually my last charity event, I was actually cooking, and it was the first time that he would kind of seen me do the whole thing and everything. So it was with Matt Light, his foundation, the New England Patriot. And so we went up there and cooked. But Adam LaRoche, he is such a quiet gentleman, nice guy, but he's an adrenaline junkie. He was helping people with Pineapple Express, doing things for Ukraine. He's all kind. He's a deputized sheriff in the local area.
You know, his last name is French for the Roche.
The Roche, yeah. he married his high school sweetheart, lived in a shack on his in-laws, when he was making all this money and everything. Just a hell of a guy.
And his brother was a ball player too.
Yes, he was. He's the one that quit the Chicago White Sox when they wouldn't let his son Dylan in the locker room.
Right.
And he said, okay, if you're not going to do that, I'm
that's
quitting.
Right. That's
and
right.
he left. Yeah. There so that go. That's, but yeah, he's, yeah. But
I commend
good,
so. You for doing this. This is a wonderful thing that you're doing. And please make sure that a lot of people know about this. That's great. And compliments to Adam LaRoche.
Yes. Yes.
LaRoche.
Yes. The Roche.
Well, guys, thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything.
Baseball with BBQ.
Thank you guys so much.
As Spock would say, fascinating. Fascinating talk.
And fun. And laughing. Fun. I mean, just if the voters agree with us, then we're going to have four from this ballot. And then, of course, we're going to have the crime dog, Fred McGriff.
Fred McGriff. Yes. Finally. Yes. I always thought he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And I agreed with you. Definitely. Jeff, 5 years. We always say perks of this show are here's perks. BaseballBBQ.com. Not only is BaseballBBQ.com for their grilling tools and accessories with the baseball bat handles, an incredible company, but they are so supportive of this show. They come on whenever we want them to. And then there's the Pandemic Baseball Book Club. How can we say enough about them? The authors that we've had on this show, we're so fortunate to be able to do what we do, but we couldn't do it without these incredible guests, these incredible authors, but all the guests. 5 years of doing this show, Bob Kendrick, first guest ever. And from that, the world of baseball and the world of barbecue and sometimes even football. Remember, yeah. We had Nick Mangold on.
That's right.
Right? I mean, just you never know who you're going to get on this show. Jeff, I always say, if you don't like one episode, shut it off. Try another one. If you don't like that one, then I don't know. Shut it off. Try another. I mean, hopefully, eventually you get to one. You should all know that we are brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts.
Are we starting?
Oh, come on. I don't even want to say it. I don't want to end. Do we have to end?
Yep. Well, you know, be glad it happened.
Yeah. All right. So as we then begin, I guess we're beginning our sixth year.
Yeah. Next time.
Wow. All right. So we want to thank Bill Chuck. We want to thank Doug Scheiding. And we want to thank you, our thank listeners. You. And I want to thank you, Jeff.
Oh, thank you.
And we want to thank our listeners. We're very appreciative of anyone who listens to this, the authors who get in touch with us and ask to come on the show, the guests, everyone. We appreciate, I think you all know, you can tell how much we appreciate everyone. So yes, we have to end. We're going to end with the poet, Shel Kukofsky, the musician, Dave Dresser, and Jeff. Is it Baseball Always Brings You Home?
Yes.
That's what it is. Baseball Always Brings You Home. Thank you, everyone, for making this an incredible 5 years.
Peace.